It's now time to hear those necessary words of exhortation. Our brother Dan Costin, please.
Thank you, Brother Daniel.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you. Don't worry, I won't be up here long. The readings actually weren't special requests. They were just the first two portions that landed in our reading planner. So they tied in very well. So I figured I'd just go with them. So, last week, Josh brought us out the question, how do we use our time? Each person's honest answer will be different than the person sitting next to them. Not that any answer is wrong, but perhaps there is room for improvement to complement our walk in the faith. I, for one, know I am guilty of bad time management. The direction I would like to take us in is not how we spend our time in general, but how do we spend our time when we do focus on our personal lives and our personal walks. In order for us to truly appreciate a matter, we must actually understand the matter and all that went into it. Our first portion of readings in Job, we have God declaring a few of his mighty works. It is not until the next chapter, chapter 40, that Job begins to show his humility. Job is one of the best examples shown to us in the Bible. He did truly appreciate God and all that had been given to him. Even when it was all taken away, and he was sitting in a pile of dung and ashes, scraping his skin with a potsherd to relieve the itch, he did not curse God. In Job 2, 9 and 10, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. Could any of us endure what Job endured and still have room for appreciation and the mindset to give glory to God? My brother and sisters, we are living fully in the time of the Gentiles, and sometimes it makes me cringe to see what is going on around us. As my forefathers may have said about my generation, the newer generations of people out in the world seem to be getting soft. It gives me a great relief to not see that same trend within our Christadelphian community here. The upcoming young folk out in the world have absolutely no room in their life for appreciation because they feel that they are entitled to everything. Gone are the days where respect is given and trust is earned. As brethren and sisters, we need to be aware of this trend and resist the temptation of being caught up in it. We are all merely mortal, sinful humans and do not deserve, or are we entitled to the gift we have on the table before us here this morning. A lot of the time in our busy lives, efforts of others will go unnoticed. And if we don't notice others' positive actions, then how can we appreciate them? being of a human nature, sometimes it is hard for us to pull our head out of the sand, to look around and see the things that are done for us and the sacrifices made by others. And specifically, at the time of this memorial feast, the ultimate sacrifice made by God our Father and His Son, our Savior, Jesus. For the past ecclesial election period, I have sat on the board of Arranging Brethren. I've lived in Victoria for 35 years and have never fully appreciated all the work and planning that goes on in that room. I was totally clueless as to how much personal effort is put in to organize and efficiently run an ecclesia. As my eyes have been opened a little bit now, I have come to a greater appreciation of the people who meet in the back room and the chores and tasks they perform willingly. We do have in our members those who put in a lot with little recognition. My personal appreciation has increased for the working members of this ecclesia. Without naming names, I would just like to say I have grown in my gratitude for the little custom piano melodies, the effort taken to collect, compile, organize, and report all the major events occurring in this ecclesia. I have a newfound respect for the efforts to line up, organize, and perform the seemingly simple task of having an advertised special Bible effort. I totally admire the social skill set people have to go out and visit the lonely, contact those who are astray, and morally strengthen those who may be weaker in the faith. As an active participant on the door, I understand the panic and pandemonium that can go on while multiple duties collide, but all need to be completed at the same time. Sometimes the performance of this chore seems underrated. To finish this concept of who and what may be underappreciated, my hat is off to all the invisible tasks of setting the table, serving snacks, and just general housekeep and housework at this hall. I believe I may have gone off on a bit of a tangent there, but it is for a good cause, and I have a point to it. It's not that we don't know about the previously mentioned tasks being performed. We all know they are accomplished, but are we truly grateful for this? Do we fully appreciate what is done for us? Our second portion of readings, taken from our daily reading planner, couldn't tie into my theme any better. The chapter starts out, and I quote, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi." Malachi the prophet was sent to Israel in one of their low times. It seems that as you read through the chapter, the children of Israel had fallen off the rails. They were not paying the proper respect to God. Verse 13 again shows the complaint from the Israelites. "Ye said also, behold, what a weariness it is." At this stage, God's people were merely going through the motions of sacrifice, but their heart was not in it. Our all-knowing Heavenly Father knew this and refused to accept their tainted offerings. Verse 2 in Malachi states, I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? The word burden pretty much sums up Israel's mindset at the time of Malachi. We must hope and pray that we never get to this stage of depreciation in our walk of faith. If we compare ourselves to the children of Israel wandering through the wilderness to the promised land, we have an awful lot to be thankful for. We have an excessive amount of food, especially this time of the year. We have an abundance of water, clean water that is, available on demand that can be hot or cold with the flick of a wrist. We have the power to run our furnaces to heat our homes, electricity to run our lights, and for us to turn on at a whim. Are we still truly thankful and fully appreciate these simple pleasures? Or do we begin to take them for granted because we feel entitled to these items after a hard day's work? My main goal of this exhortation is to try to spark our hearts and minds into appreciating what has been done for us approximately 2,000 years ago. Omnipotent God allowed and watched his Son to be tortured and crucified for us. We meet here weekly and reflect on that very sacrifice that was made for us. Or do we appreciate it as we should? 52 times a year. 520 times in a decade. I know, speaking for myself, repetition soon gets boring and old. Going through the same motions doesn't have quite as much impact as when it did when it was new. The grand human nature fault of taking things for granted and not appreciating how we should. A small excerpt that I found on the internet I would like to share with you because I fully agree with how this author writes. This little definition article ties in well with my appreciation theme. It implies truthfully that there is more to appreciation and gratitude than meets the eyes. Runs much deeper than that. What is gratitude? Gratitude is a conscious, positive emotion one can express when feeling thankful for something, whether tangible or intangible. From the time when we are little, we are asked to thank others when they give us a gift or extend a nice gesture. We learn to thank automatically and as a social rule. But how many times do we extend thanks for the little good things that happen to us daily? Do we really know how to be grateful? We have all heard and read many definitions of gratitude, but experiencing gratitude at its core requires a conscious effort. How many times do we say thank you without taking a moment to actually feel thankful? An effective gratitude practice involves much more than showing good manners. It's a practice that requires acknowledging someone else's gesture towards us, or the big and little things that are going on well in our lives. It involves both a process of recognition of the positive and its outcome through easy and through hard times. The children of Israel strayed many times, and that is recorded in scriptures for us to learn from. Agreeably, their circumstances were totally different than ours. Different lifestyle, different needs, different wants, and different surroundings. But the core idea of appreciation and gratitude remained the same to everyone throughout all the generations. At this point, nearing the end of my exhortation, I would like to read you a story. Not just any story. I believe I may have used it previous, and I believe Greg Ferry may have used this story. But I thought I would use it in this exhort. I must confess that on my very first presentation, I did this, I cried. Because there's such a strong, saddening parallel to our lives in the truth. There once was a bridge operator who had a young son whom he dearly loved. They were inseparable. The young boy often asked to go with his father to watch him work, to watch him raise and lower the drawbridge, allowing the boats to pass under or the passenger trains to cross over. One day the father relented and allowed his son to come with him to work. "Stay here at a safe distance," the father warned the boy, "while I go and raise the bridge for the coming boat." The boy stayed where his father had left him and watched the bridge as it slowly lifted up in the sky. Suddenly the boy heard the faint cry of an approaching passenger train, coming quite a bit sooner than it had been expected. The father up in the control room could hear neither the whistle of the train nor the warning cry of his son. The boy saw the train racing closer and closer, and he started to run along the platform to reach his father, knowing there was a lever that he could pull near the operating gears of the bridge. The boy ran to the door in the platform and tried to lower himself down to reach the lever. Losing his balance, he fell in to where the gears came together and was caught. At the same time, the father saw his son fall down into the hole in the platform. He saw the fast approaching train. In horror, he realized that if he didn't start lowering the bridge immediately, it would be not down in time for the train to pass safely. The train would crash into the river below, killing hundreds of innocent people. The man was faced with an unimaginable dilemma: race to save his son at the cost of hundreds of lives, or sacrifice his son to save the passengers on the train. He made the only choice he could and pulled the lever to lower the bridge. In spite of the noise of the descending bridge and the oncoming train, he still heard the anguished screams of his beloved son being crushed to death between the gears of the bridge. The man ran to the platform as the train was passing by. Most people on the train simply ignored the man crying on the platform. Others looked out of the window and stared, totally oblivious of the unspeakable sacrifice that had just been made on their behalf. They gave no other thought or concern to this being who had just given up what was most precious to him so that they could live. Can we see the parable in this story and reflect it on the sacrifice made by our Father and Jesus so we may have the opportunity to earn a place in the kingdom. I'm hoping that the more modern-day wording and the graphic nature of this story will paint a stronger image in our minds for the partaking of the emblems. As we focus on the bread and wine before us and what it represents, may we be a little more focused on our appreciation and on our gratitude towards the sacrifice made for us.